Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the great big vast world of ours. And this is Purpose Talk Radio, and I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And it is today, what is today? Friday, April 26, 2019, quarter of the way through the year. And we are talking today about cleaning up your health and continuing in the spring cleaning series. At this point, we've talked about cleaning up negative thinking, cleaning up your thoughts in general, cleaning up spiritually. What else do we do? I think we do one other one. And here we are, you know, looking at then what do we do now to clean up our health. And I admit, I'll do it right off the bat as we start this show. I might be preaching to myself here because I need to know it and I need to learn it. And there's a couple things that, you know, cause me pause sometimes, so they say. And so I need to deal with that, remind myself what I need to do to be healthy. So I thought, what the heck, you know, we'll talk to everybody else the same thing and say, look, what do we need to do here to be healthy? Healthy, wealthy, and wise, as they say. Well, that's the other one I could do. We hadn't talked about finances, so maybe that will be next week. We'll see what we can do about that. I was trying to think what we had not done yet as far as cleaning things up for the spring cleaning series, because, you know, we start May next month, and we'll see how that goes. Let's see. The show is brought to you by True Visions Travel, full-service travel company. You can find that at TRUEVISIONSTRAVEL.com. The song you heard is by the group True Trinity. Vocalist Jillian Clark. Writers on that, Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. And they are at TRUETRINITY.com. They're also on Facebook. Actually, both of those are on Facebook. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can participate in this show, and that's really how I get the most out of it, is to listen to you once in a while, as well as come up with some ideas. So the first one is to, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can join us by scrolling down to the bottom of the page and joining us in the chat room. It's a little bit different layout than it's been. I'm not quite sure how that all is going to work. So hopefully someone will give me some idea how this looks and how this works differently. Somebody checking in there would be really good, because I'm not quite sure how this chat room is working at this point. But we'll see, because it's just a blank screen right now and says there's a couple viewers and there's a couple speakers, and I don't know what it is. And I'll admit that. So if I miss your chat, don't acknowledge it. Try it again. Know that if you do post in the chat room, I know what I'll do. I'll just put a smiley face in there and see what happens. If you do post in the chat room, what ends up happening after the show is that it goes away, and that's okay. And anybody who does not is not logged in at the time of the post will not see it. And so, and anything that happens when you come in after the fact, then you'll be able to see. You can call in, listen on the phone at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. If you're in the United States, have a Magic Jack or some other way to dial into the U.S. If you wish, you can also Skype in. Now, if you want to talk to us and you're on either Skype or the phone, please do so. Press the number 1 so that we know you are wanting to talk and want to participate. You can, after the fact or during the show, there is we have a Facebook group also called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. That group is, like I said, it is on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, we'll give you one other alternative in that. So if you're on Facebook, you can put your comments in there, whether you listen live or archive to the show. And hopefully then with that, we can comment back if there's anything. I'll put the weekly affirmations in there and any other, and sometimes I'll grab something from the show or put a link in related to the show or whatever. So those are the things that we do there. Now, if you don't have any of those options, you can send me an email to cindy@purposetalkradio.com. It's cindy@purposetalkradio.com. The same thing happens if you have anything else. Maybe you want to share an idea for the show or a guest that might be good for this show. Please do consider that as well. Again, it's cindy@purposetalkradio.com. Would love to have you be a part of that if you've got any ideas for us, because we do run out of them. If you wish to sponsor the show, donate to us as we do pay for the airtime here, feel free to do that through an email. If you want the information, I can give it to you through email, or there's a PayPal email address. So all of those are available. And so then we get on to the, on with the show, as they say. And as I said, the topic today is about cleaning up our health. And it seems like with the way some of our food is grown and prepared these days, there has been a very large focus on the impact of the nutrients and how many nutrients are destroyed by some of the pesticides, some of the preparation, and things like that that are in our foods. You know, to some extent, I believe that is true. You know, we've cross-pollinated. We've kept using our fields over and over, whereas our forefathers rotated crops. And, you know, one year they might do corn, the next year they might do lettuce or cabbage. You know, things like that, where they rotated the crops, or at least on the property they rotated. So where there was corn one year, there'd be the cabbage the next year, and where there was the cabbage, there might be peas, and you know, they rotate that, and somehow that seemed to help with the nutrients and the freshness and the quantity of the food that was grown. Whereas now it seems like a lot of times farmers and even individuals are forced to use those same fields, those same plant beds that they've used in the past to create new crops. And in doing that, then they suck some of the nutrients out of the soil that those particular plants need. And so what's happening is that they're needing to create other ways to continue or to enlarge the crops, to build, to create bigger and better plants, bigger and better produce, things like that. So some of that comes out of the GMO processing, and some of it comes out of just the way things are fertilized and cross-pollinated and all of that. So what can we do? You know, sometimes we have to supplement our foods with additional vegetables. Everything in the interest of speed. A lot of times, and I'm very, very understanding of this, we take the quick and easy way out to make our foods. So we zap them in the microwave. And I admit that's pretty much what I do with everything because I don't really want to take the time to cook, I'll be honest. You know, if I'm hungry and I want my food, I don't want to sit there and prepare it on the stove because I'm liable to nibble off of it, and I don't want to do that. If it's in the microwave, it's going to cook, and I won't be as tempted to, you know, taste it and process it and think about it and all of that. It's just going to cook, and it'll be out of sight, out of mind until that timer goes off. The other way, people are doing a lot more of crock pots and convection ovens. And what's the other one? pressure cookers now, which is kind of cool because it keeps all the nutrients of all the ingredients together in one area. One pot cooking, one easy way to do things. And, you know, that works out pretty well. So if we want to up our nutrients, you know, some of that is to learn what fruits and vegetables should be refrigerated. Because, you know what, the best way to get some of the nutrients is to not refrigerate sometimes, because sometimes refrigeration stops the growth process or stops what nutrients are in the fruits and vegetables. So when we look at some of this, you know, the first thing we want to do when we bring our fruits and vegetables home, sometimes we want to wash them and just throw them in the refrigerator because we think they'll stay fresher or we think they'll stay longer. But there's some things that really should not be refrigerated. For example, we've got avocados, apples, bananas, citrus fruits, berries, peaches, apricots, nectarines. These should be stored actually out of the refrigerator. Now, many people know about hanging their bananas, and that if they are refrigerated, often they turn black, but at the same time, if you throw them in the refrigerator, they stop the ripening process. So that's why a lot of people want to put them into the refrigerator right away, because it seems more and more our fruits are ripening faster, and they're actually spoiling. Again, some of that has to do with that processing or has to do with the insecticides and all of that that goes with our foods. So we want to make sure that those things that should not be refrigerated, you know, we find other ways, put them on the counter, put them in a place where, you know, they'll be safe. There are some, you know, they do result in the flavor, in the loss of the flavor and the texture. Now, if you really want to refrigerate them for whatever reason, if you take them out for about 30 minutes prior to when you want to eat them, they'll kind of crisp up, and they'll be better for you. I know a lot of us, for me, the berries and the bananas, I don't want to keep them out. I want to keep them in the refrigerator because, you know, they tend to attract the fruit flies no matter what I do because they ripen so fast. It seems like, you know, they just... Yeah, they just shouldn't be there. You know, there's other things that we should not refrigerate. I know a lot of people like freeze their breads to keep them. And that's a different story. You know, you want to keep them for longer. So, you know, putting that bread, generally freezing it is one thing. Putting it in the refrigerator really doesn't, it does change the consistency. You actually end up eating drier bread when it's in the refrigerator. I know some people think that putting it in there will make it worse, but no, that's not true. Actually, if you put it in the refrigerator, it will dry out faster, because that's basically what the refrigerator does, is it sucks the moisture out of the foods. You know, if you eat it within, like, if you make breads and you eat it, like, within the 4 days or so at room temperature, you're going to have a very nice, fresh bread. If you think it's going to be more than that, just go take the whole thing and put it in the freezer. You know, that would be much better. A lot of our herbs, you know, we grow, a lot of people are now getting more natural herbs, fresh herbs, you know, the basil, the thyme, rosemary, things like that, that they want to have. So they want to have the fresher herbs. Those are not refrigerated items. You know, they're actually going to wilt faster in the refrigerator because of the consistency that they are. Now, what you could do, believe it or not, is not actually going to wilt them, which is interesting. You could put them in a water-filled jar on the counter. That will keep them healthy, and that will keep them fresh and crisp. Now, I know that kind of defeats the purpose, but some people say, oh, what? You know, we've got these plants. No, try it. It will actually keep them crisper for you. And then when you're ready to use, you just take out what you need out of the water jar and, you know, put it in your foods or whatever, whether you're going to cook it or eat it fresh. It's a great way to do it. Let's see, we've all probably, most of us, I think, now have learned that we don't put potatoes in the refrigerator anymore. There was a point in time when you always refrigerated your potatoes. And now it's like, nope, you don't want to refrigerate them. And you want, as soon as you get home, if they're in those plastic bags, them out of that. Because keeping them in those plastic bags will promote the mold. And they'll start to decay faster. You know, and instead, put them in a paper bag. If you're one of these folks who has a basement or an extra refrigerator out in the garage, you know, where it's not going to get really hot or really cold, you know, put them in a brown paper bag and set them outside, you know, on top of that refrigerator that you've got in the garage or in the basement. You know, that's a good place to keep them so that they'll just be, they'll be safer there. The other one that's kind of similar to that is onion. You know, we don't want to put them in the refrigerator either, and we don't want to keep those in any kind of plastic bag. You know, what happens, again, in the refrigerator, if you put those in there, they tend to get moldy again. And the other part is they will stink up your whole refrigerator. And although some of us really like the taste of onion, the taste of old onion and the smell of old onion is not so cool. So we don't want to do that. Tomatoes. I think most of us have learned that, you know, you want to buy your tomatoes just under ripe. So then we can keep them out, you know, and let them ripen on the counter. And hopefully you know, if you buy some that are more ripe than others, as you eat them or as they ripen, you'll get to eat them. And they'll keep them, too, nice and solid. You know, if you go to one of these, if you go to the restaurants, very often they do keep those in the refrigerator, and it's only a little bit more, again, for health reasons. They kind of are required to not have any food out like we do at home. So as, you know, with their service, again, they're losing a lot of those nutrients and a lot of that ripe crispness that we would like to have in our foods. So instead, we need to keep up with our own, at home, we want to add those extra nutrients and that extra value to our foods and our and what we're doing. Let's see, what are the things to keep it, keep some things a little more healthy in the refrigerator and all of that? Let's see. So I think most of us know about cereals and oils and things like that. Those don't go in the refrigerator because the oils, of course, coagulate. I think that's the right word I want on that. Somebody can correct me if it's wrong, but instead, you know, keep those in a cupboard. More of a dark cupboard is better because the light will tend to destroy them and break them down. And again, take away from the nutritional value of that. And so, you know, keeping them just in that cupboard is a much better way. Now, here's another one that some people do, and they think that, again, you'll keep it longer. But if you think about it, it's kind of taking the flavor away. Where do you keep your coffee? Basically, if you've ever put coffee, way faster. I'm not going to argue with anybody about nutritional value of coffee. We're not going to go there today. But those who, you know, their coffee is a, you know, an extra mineral for their day. And those of us who really like our coffee, you know, it's better to keep it out. But if you put it in the refrigerator, it condenses on itself, and it does go away faster. Now, that should convince most of you that want to put it in there. That's a good reason to keep it out because, you know, if you buy coffee any faster than you have to. Our uncut melons, we keep out. People pretty much know that. And there's a couple of things that people do store in the refrigerator that really are not supposed to be stored. And, you know, I'm not talking anymore. And this is just kind of some of my reading up on the internet. Some of our things, such as honey and peanut butter, pickles, things like that, that now pickles are a little different story once they're open because a lot of the jars do say allow you to keep those on the counter. In my house, when I was a kid, the pickles wouldn't last long enough. We did refrigerate them, but in reality, if they were on the counter, everybody would see them and they probably wouldn't last at all. If they were in the refrigerator, my mom could hide them away from us and we wouldn't be pickles because we don't like it. it was like, oh, we get snitched a little pickle. No, not a little piece of pickle, a little pickle. One for the lunch, one cut them, eating pickles right out of the jar. And that was lots of fun, especially if we had those Clausen things. Now, healthiest thing for me, would I still do it today if I were doing it? You know what? I probably would. One of those little vices, yeah, I think it would be better than having some of these sugary cookies and candies because the vinegar actually is very healthy for you to drink, especially if it's an apple cider vinegar. That's another thing which I'll go into in a little bit. I hope I remember that one. You know, apple cider vinegar is very good for digestion. It's very good for your system. And it's one of the ways that you can stay nice and healthy. But the vinegar with the apples, with the vinegar is, much healthier and better for you. So, what are the things, give you as some hints on the nutrition and things that want to do? They tend to, again, you want to store them out of direct sunlight, but in not refrigerating them, because again, that's the refrigeration tends to break down parts of them, especially like the peanut butter breaks down the oil in it. It gets really hard when you put that in the refrigerator, if you've ever tried it. So if you keep it at room temperature, it's much easier to use. Now, some people subscribe to keeping for what little, if you've got an oil-based salad dressing, again, keep those out, because the oil, when you put that in the refrigerator, it breaks down. However, if you've got like the creams, the yogurts, or mayo-based dressings, those go in the refrigerator. But if they're more of an oil-based or vinegar-based, then we want to keep those on the counter. Once you open them, you don't have to put them in the refrigerator. So that's some of the basics on that. Again, it keeps some of the nutritional value in your products. It helps you to use them a lot easier. Jams and jellies too. Some of them, you want to look at what it says on the jar and go by the recommendation. But, it is, for the most part, you can keep some of those out as well, especially if you're using them on a regular basis. Now, if you only use jellies or something once a year, or jams once a year for your Christmas cookies or your holiday cookies or something, or a special dinner, then that's a whole different story. Things that are vacuum sealed when you purchase them, the tunas, the salmon, things in a can that's sealed when you purchase it, like your olives and your soups and all that stuff, none of that should be refrigerated. Because it tends to work on like the cans, the refrigeration breaks up on the cans, and you're going to probably end up with a much more tinny flavoring in them than you want to have if you refrigerate them. If you just keep them out, that it'll taste better, it will be more nutritious for you, things like that. Of course, if you can do anything from scratch, it's always better. I tend to do a lot more not from scratch. If it's prepared, I'm more likely to quickly grab it and run. Now, in some cases, I will go to the store and I will get something off of a hot bar, or I will get one of those pre-packaged plates of fresh stuff, your meatloafs or whatever with the vegetables and all that. The nutritional guide still does subscribe to having, your fruits, your vegetables, your proteins. That triangle has changed a bit over the years. And what we should and should not be eating to improve our health. Triangle pyramid, I guess, actually what they call it, if we really want to get specific on this. And, how much and what is considered a healthy plate, what's considered healthy for the number of calories you take in, the types of foods you take in, all of that. As we watch our health, we do want to pay attention to that as well. Some of us who are a little heavier do need more calories to sustain our health and nutrition, but at the same time, exceeding a reasonable amount will tend to have an impact on our weight and all of our other things, on diabetes and cholesterol and blood pressure and all those things. So we want to be careful, too, that we're not taking in too much of those kinds of items and too much of what is not so good for us. Excuse me. So what is, you know, folks might be asking, what is the nutrition guideline? And I'm actually trying to pull that up because, like I said, I know it's changed. I used to know it very well. And we're trying to get one, you know, what is it now as it has changed over time. You know, they used to say so much fruit, vegetables, meat, dairy, even how much fat was supposed to be in your diet to be able to sustain a healthy diet, healthy living. And that has changed a bit over the years just because of research, just because some of the stuff, too, looking at, for instance, the Heart Association and those folks have gotten a little more involved in what is considered a healthy plate of food. So what they're saying now is that in general, now there are different body types and all that come in play under this, but in general, half of your plate should be fruits and vegetables. And a lot of times people don't meal. So then if that's the case, then you do half your plate vegetables or half your meal fruits, that kind of thing. And that's, you know, up to how you're going to do that. And then a quarter of the plate would be whole grains. It might include your pastas, your breads, and that kind of thing as well. And then a quarter of it protein. For me, I tend to do better with a whole lot less grains and more proteins. But there's other, what I'm learning is that there are some other grains that are actually pretty healthy other than, you know, your breads and your pasta. Barley's, quinoa, oats, brown rice as opposed to regular rice, again, the whole wheat pastas. All of that are better for you than the white breads and the white rice because they don't turn to sugar in your bloodstream quite as quickly as the whites do. They tend to take longer and end up, even with your system, they take longer to process. They stay in your system longer, but they don't quickly give you that high that a lot of white flours, white bread, white rice tends to do. Because what that does is almost instantly turns to sugar, gives you the high. A lot of times will put you to sleep if you have too much of it. A lot of times called a sugar coma. You can add that with your, you know, if you put to add dessert then with that, that sugar is just a bit much for our systems. And we end up going to sleep. We get very tired. We get very restless. We want to take, that's a lot of times why people want to take a nap right after they eat. So watching some of that stuff, and again, staying higher on the fruits and vegetables than those grains. You know, our proteins can consist of fish, chicken, beef, beans, nuts. For those that don't use the meat-based, make sure your plant-based is, again, a solid protein for you. You know, there's a lot of beans, there's tofu, there's that kind of stuff out there now that's an alternative if you are getting to the point where you don't want to do meat products for your health or for the processing of it or whatever your reasons might be, then just make sure you pay attention to still that the non-meat products are solid protein for you. They can be, you know, a lot of that stuff mixes really well with your vegetables. So a lot of times people will make soups or salads and mix all of their vegetables and their proteins together, you know, for either for something different or.
Okay, so I apparently we've lost the whole signal. My whole connection disappeared from the show. I'm not quite sure where it got lost, but I'll just continue in, and hopefully we get the information that you all need. Thank you very much for giving me that information. Again, exactly what our chat room is for. Please feel free to get in the chat room, jump on Facebook, connect with us anyway, calling 347-205-9074 to participate in the show if you'd like. So what where I was talking about, you know, as we do our oils and things, we want to do all that in moderation. I'm hoping that point came across there. As we look at our beverages, and hopefully it wasn't a repeat of it, you know, I'm very good at wanting my sodas and things in between, something to drink in between in the day. I do realize that water is better. You can always flavor it with some citrus to not have the sugar added into it, like that. The juices should be limited to a small glass a day because it's so heavy. Concentrated, again, turning very much to sugar. If you do your own juice without adding sugar into it, that's a little different. It's pretty much the same as the whole fruit. But if you're juicing and then adding other sugars to it, that'd be less healthy of an issue. Now, when I grew up as a kid, we constantly were drinking milk. We would go through easily a gallon of milk a week. When I moved out of my parents' house, I was still going through half a gallon to a gallon a week by myself. I drank a lot of milk. And somewhere along the way, I was realizing that that just did not fit well with my stomach. Even if I got skim milk, it just, you know, it did not digest well for me, and some people are finding that. And I don't know, again, if that's happening because of the way it's being processed or what is happening with that. You know, they now say to limit milk and dairy products to one or two servings a day, as opposed to, like, when I was a kid, we were drinking milk with every meal. What we did, it was only occasionally. It's funny, with us as kids, we had iced tea with something Italian, and when I got older, I used to make sun tea in the summer, and that was great because it was unsweetened and everything, but it was usually the powdered sugared stuff that we had for our iced tea. I think that it was with, for some reason, with Italian, we always had iced tea. Sometimes when we grilled out, it was iced tea. Sometimes it was milk. But we were regular milk drinkers at home. And with doing that, we were, you know, I don't know if that has come and had something to do with my system and the adjustment on it over the years or not. It seems like it maybe has. But you can find more out about this. There is a guide that's available on how all this has changed over the years. You can go to a website that's called choosemyplate.gov. Again, choosemyplate.gov. And it shows you the proportions and things that you should have now with your fruits and vegetables and grains and things. You know, it actually shows that you're better off with a little more vegetable than fruit. It will give you some guidelines as to what things actually fall into dairies versus proteins. And there are some things that people overlap that they think used to be one that are the other now. Some cheeses are proteins, some, a lot of cheeses are dairy. For instance, yogurts, again, if they're fortified and have some different minerals in them, they fall in different categories. You know, your potatoes are starches, are more of your grains than they are considered your, under your fruits and vegetables, tomatoes, corn, things like that, that quickly turn into sugars. So again, some of that is limited, and you can check on the various plates and foods and see where they fall on that particular website. Of course, we want to, well, do we want to? We're supposed to. Don't always want to limit our consumptions of alcohol. You know, what's interesting is a lot of times when people drink alcohol, of course, they're also drinking sugar with the heavy, you know, mixers and things that are in there, the colas and the white sodas and all that. So you're kind of getting a double whammy on that stuff, because actually alcohol does turn to straight sugar for a lot of people, and even faster and more than like the sodas do. Some of it does depend on your process, your body's processing on that stuff, but a lot of it just does not process as we would like to remain healthy people. So we want to limit those as well. There's sometimes, a little bit, some of us find that an alcohol beverage or something sweet actually gives us a little more energy than we might otherwise. In the process of relaxing, putting us to sleep, whatever, on days where we might be a little more anxious or angry or some of that, okay, you know, that occasional stuff does work. You know, that keeps our moods in check so we don't go hurting our hands, punching signs or a wall or something that we shouldn't do. You know, those kinds of things. We want to make sure that, you know, we check on those as well. You know, we've talked about how changing our mental attitude over the last couple of weeks, how the mental attitude has a lot to do with health also. So, you know, that occasional drink just might help that mental attitude for us. But staying and doing that long-term is something else. Now, if we look at, you know, heart health is the next part of this. And, you know, the food does come in that, as does exercise, and believe it or not, as does sleeping in the process of all of that. So, you know, we are supposed to get certain amounts of exercise. The Fitbits and a lot of these apps now subscribe to the 10,000 steps a day, in that, you know, we walk 10,000 steps to be able to stay healthy. And a lot of these things like the Fitbit, like phone apps, there's actually some free phone apps out there too that will measure that for you. You know, if you're going to keep your phone in your pocket or in your purse or in your bag or whatever, your briefcase that you carry around with you, you might as well let the app do it. Now, some people say that's an invasion of privacy and keeping your phone close to you, you know, is not healthy as well. You kind of got to weigh some of that for yourself and see where you fall into all of that, and how, you know, how you feel about it. Because again, the electro, whatever they call them, somebody's got the word for it, great. From the electronics is, you know, can mess with our health as well. It can mess with the bone density. There's lots of things that it can harm for us. So, but inside a bag or inside a, don't know how they work. I don't. They, giving us a count on our steps and on everything else. And some say, oh, that's an invasion of privacy. I get that. I understand that. But you can only have access to a certain amount of information. It doesn't have to have access to your whole phone, to your whole system and all that. So, you know, please be mindful of that. Oh, I want to go step back just for a second on some of that food again, too. There is now a vegan pyramid for foods. There is also for those that are on the keto diet, where they're focusing more on protein than other things. And the fresh, the raw foods and things like that. So there are different kinds of pyramids that are out there now too, to help people that want to have or find that that kind of food plan, food source, better for you than not, than some of the other things that are out there. But basically the thing, the kicker with food is that if you're eating it and you're getting sluggish and you're not feeling well when you're done, you want to go take a nap, then there's something more than likely in either the quantity or the quality of the food you're eating that is affecting your health. So you want to take a look at that and see what, you know, how you can change that. So, okay, so I'll go back to some of these other things, like the 10,000 steps. So, you know, take a look at, you know, how or if you want to do that. Some people say even 20 minutes a day of exercise, whether that be walking, running, jogging in place, even walking around the office. And, you know, that those are all opportunities for us. Instead, and getting up away from your desk at least 5 minutes for every hour, that those are ways to keep us healthy, keep us from getting stiff and tired at our desks. The interesting thing is a lot of stuff when I'm home, I'm pretty much laying flat in my bed with my computer now. Sometimes I've got the table in front of me. Sometimes I don't. You know, one of those lap tables. A lot of times it's on me, and then I got the energy for the computer, so I've got to look at that. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking at. And that's recently where I've kind of started paying attention to that thing. You know, well, maybe that's not the best thing for me. I do need to use the computer table. Laying flat is actually pretty good for your back, but then that's not the best position for my hands and my arms to be. So, you know, one thing better than the other? Maybe, maybe not. We just have to kind of try to figure it out sometimes. And go by, again, how our body feels, how we react to various things. What happens when we, you know, say you've been working on your computer for an hour or two and you get up and you're all stiff and, you know, your eyes sore and watery and itching and you're trying to figure out what that's all about. Well, you know, we often stare at our screens and we actually don't end up blinking when we are using them. So that puts a strain on our eyes, you know, as well as our bones, our muscles, and our entire body. So what we, again, that's more of a reason to be looking away from the computer and
spending more time, not direct screen time. You know, it can increase the pressure in your eyes. It can increase the strain on your eyes. Growing up, the theory was, you know, if you try reading with not enough light, you're going to damage your eyes. Well, that was a fallacy. I tried to convince my parents just the opposite and said, hey, you know, with all the eye issues I've got, if I can read in the dark, I'm strengthening my eyes. But I'm forcing them to work. Well, so I'm married to that, my eye doctor finally said to them. But at the same time, it also did strain my eyes because not having enough light, your eyes aren't opened the correct amount. You're ending up. What you need is trying to get the light in there so that you actually can read. So there were differing opinions on that. And the jury's still kind of out on some of it. So you want to make sure you get away from those computers and the electronic, at least for some periods of time, to avoid that extra. Because once your eyes get tired, a lot of times people end up with headaches. They end up with what they also find is that they set their jaw while they're, and so when they get up and they stop, they may find it hard and annoying. And ample time away from. Different breaks to find out what is the best for you. So currently with right now out for most adults, because I have probably very few kids listening to this show, and you know what, it seems like depending, if kids are in school, they're probably getting some exercise and going out to recess and playing and things like that. When they get home and they play on the video games, they may not get their exercise, but still, it seems like kids seem to get a little more exercise than we as adults do. Department of Health and Human Services currently is saying is that, you know, the best is, of course, aerobic activity where you're getting your heart rate up. And if we get at least 150 minutes of aerobic activity or 75 minutes of very rigorous activity a week, that we are doing pretty well. So let me think about that. So if I do 5 days of 30 minutes of moderate exercise, only five days of that, and then I only have to do like what, 12 minutes? Cause 75 half of 50, really? Wow, no, 15 minutes. I'd be doing 15 minutes for 5 days a week. You know, that's much better than I'm doing right now. And I notice the difference. I don't know about you folks, but when I do exercise and I get out, yes, I may, because I'm not in shape, my body may feel it more, but it seems like it clears up my mind as well. And I get the chance to, I can think better. I can act better. My mood is changed. All of that is much, 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 much better shape. So that's why we want to get that exercise. He said, even if it's 5 days a week. Now, take that, think about that, you know, that 150 dividing it by a little bit every day. That's even less. You can probably do that. So that's where, like, the 20 minutes a day comes in, if we did it every day. Now, the big one for many of us is sleep. Sleep, 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 sleep.
you know, whether we get enough or whether we don't. Many of us find ourselves very busy, very active, even at night, not wanting to going and therefore just don't want to, yeah, just don't want to go to sleep. You know, as kids, we need to get older. We can, so what ends up happening? There was a report looking on our bodies, and really, it showed that I'm older, between 5 and 6.5 hours of sleep. It's actually better for us than sleeping 8 hours and give us an answer, or you know, check on it for yourself on that. You know, you can function on a few hours of sleep, and I'm sure most people really can't operate on less than like 4 or so. Now, the other thing you can do are these quick naps. You know, you don't want to sleep for, if you take a nap and you're tired in the day, give your body that time to rest. Set an alarm that only goes for like 20 minutes. Much more than that, your body starts going into the REM sleep and the harder sleep, and, you know, waking up out of that is harder on your body and your system to be basically quickly wakened is not the good thing for that. You know, ultimately getting to bed at the same time and waking up about the same time every day is a good thing. Your body will get used to it. It expects the sleep then in that pattern. I'm not good at that. Nope. And maybe someday I'll find that pattern. I can't figure out what is the right time to go to sleep or the right time to wake up for me. So I'm struggling with that right now. And often that does mean that I end up taking naps in the afternoon because I only get like 4 hours some nights because I can't go to sleep. I will sit on the computer, which is not a good thing either. Or sometimes I'll shut everything down and I'll just lay there. And my brain will go a million miles a minute, so I feel like I'm better off just picking up the computer again and getting some work, just waiting and being quiet in bed and not doing anything at all. Because to me, it's pretty useless to do that. So getting enough sleep will definitely help the quality of our health. So if we look at things, you know, different ages, we do need different amounts of sleep. Of course, when, you know, babies are first born, they actually are going to sleep most of the day, just like they did in the womb, you know. So for like the first year, they're probably going to sleep like 14 or 15 hours a day. And that's a good thing for them. You know, as they get up in the 1 to 3 years, these are suggestions at this point from the Sleep Council. You know, 1 to 3 years is 12 to 14 hours. 3 to 6 years is 10 to 12 hours. 7 to 12 is 10 to 11 hours. 12 to 18 is 8 to 9. And then up to age 65 is 7. They're saying 7 to 8 on this one. And the same with into seniors. So that as we get older, we're needing less sleep. I've heard seniors say that they need a little more sleep, though. So, again, that does vary a little bit. And how much we actually get versus how much we're supposed to get is something else. And how much of it is restful sleep you know, we go through a full sleep cycle in that we are, you know, not fully asleep at some points. We end up dreaming at other points in our sleep cycle. And dreaming is actually good for most of us. In some cases, we end up processing what's going on during the day for us. We get our messages. It's kind of like last week when I was talking about cleaning up spiritually. I hadn't even thought of or considered that about getting some of our messages in our sleep. But that sleep is also a good way and a good time to get that. So then the other aspect of this, least favorite subject probably, when I look at this in general. And I've heard it said that we should have half our weight in ounces in water. So in other words, if you're 200 pounds, for some people, it's very simple. And we need to stop and make a point of drinking water or drinking something. Some people do very well to fill up a container that is the appropriate amount of water and keep it each day, refill it. And make sure that before they go to bed at night, they have gotten the amount of water that they need. And so they are able to, you know, monitor that. Others just drink when they're thirsty, and that's okay. Making sure you have enough day is very important. Some say, you know, is it water? Is it liquid? Is it what do we actually need? It actually is water. We've heard from some people over the years, if you have, so you know that eight-ounce glasses equals a two-liter bottle of whatever, or half a gallon. Some people subscribe to that 8 glasses of water, no matter what your weight is. And then there's others that, like I say, subscribe to the weight in ounces. So it really kind of depends who you're listening to, and how well your kidneys are working and all that kind of stuff as well, because you don't want to, if you're someone that is on dialysis or have kidney issues, you want to follow whatever your doctor recommends on that. We know that water will help our digestion, that in the process of that. So again, we used to hear that we should drink water with our meals. They actually say, you know, oh, it'll fill you up. Well, the latest on that is that is not really the case, that drinking water with your meals is not the healthiest way to do things. It kind of waters down what you're eating and doesn't let it have a natural digestive process. So, you know, do your own research. Take a look at what you need in your own healthy way. Again, if anybody wants to participate in this conversation, you can. 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. I'm looking at what other things we want to worry about on our health. And I think that's pretty much the most of it. Oh, you know, you can't really play catch up on your food, your water, or your sleep. They're all very different things that we need to be healthy. Want to do is, you know, let's say one day we're just too busy and and you only had two meals to eat, and you only had a couple of glasses of water, and you only slept 2 hours because you had to get the project done. Well, okay, the next day, yes, you might be able to catch up on a little bit of your sleep if the project's done. You can have a little bit extra water because you're probably going to feel hydrated. Feel dehydrated. You know, you'll probably find that your skin's kind of rubbery. Your lips are very dry. Very dry. And like I said, rubbery kind of feeling. You know, and again, that might be because you didn't take a shower because you were at home all day doing a project. That might be a whole different story. So, and that comes to that too. So, taking showers with appropriate shampoos and shampoos and soaps and things for your body so that it doesn't pull off all the oils that are the natural oils that are in your body, those on there, or that you rehydrate your body with some oil, baby oil, or a some kind of lotion, like keep your body, your skin, and hydrated as well. But that some of that comes from the water that you take in. So yeah, you really can't end up catching up. You know, it just doesn't as much as you want to try. I know there are weeks where I don't sleep much during the week and then on the week crash. And yes, to some extent, that's better than not sleeping and continuing to do that to my body. But on the other hand, what it allows, you know, it messes with that, like, you know, it messes with the cycle of how much am I sleeping or not sleeping, and therefore ultimately learning, teaching my body to kind of remind her around the clock instead of when it goes off, I am still so tired and tired, so I hit the snooze, you know, the 10 times it allows, or doesn't, because I'm not quite with it and not doing what I'm supposed to be doing with sleep and job. So I think that's pretty much what I wanted to discuss. You can't really catch up on the exercise either. Although that's a little easier to do. You know, we can, just like anything else, things are in moderation, especially when you start them and you take on a new pattern. We all know that we can't just change. It will mess up with our system. We may end up very sick with it. You know, check with your doctors. Check with a nutritionist, exercise coach that you really can trust that has a good reputation as you're starting some of this. Even a walking routine and going into that. It's obvious that 10, 15 minutes of walking is really not going to hurt anybody, whether you have a coach or someone or not, or your nutritionist on that or not. That's pretty much guaranteed that it's good for everybody. But there are some things, you know, if you're going to be lifting weights, if you're going to be swimming along, it makes sense to want to check with someone before you do that, before you start that routine, to make sure that the rest of your system is in check and helping for you. And the last piece I want to give you is getting as needed. I mean, there's some things that, you know, a Medicare or a Medicaid type program, they offer you a free physical every year. They call it a wellness check now. They don't even call it a physical. Where they will check and see if you have gained or lost weight, check your blood pressure, run blood tests for sugar and cholesterol and the like on that.
Check your pulse ox, you know, the pulse at resting level and the oxidation in your system. All those things will be checked on an annual basis then for you without additional doctor costs. In fact, they cover the office visit on that. If you do things correctly, if you have an issue, you can talk to the scheduling doctor and say, hey, okay, or staff person, say, I want to do my wellness check. I also just need a minute for this to be checked. Or when you're in for your wellness check, make sure you mention any other issues you might be having so that they can check that for you and make it, you know, one-stop shop. I know many of us just really do not have much use for the doctors, whether it be our spiritual belief that, you know, we don't need them, that we don't need somebody to tell us what's wrong or identify things because we can do the healing. Some feel that they need to go to the doctor to get a diagnosis so they know what to work on. Others feel that they need to go to the doctor the minute they feel like, you know. Others feel they only have to go when it is so bad that they have to go into an urgent care because they can't breathe anymore. Or, you know, something's just really, really bad. I don't think anybody actually has. Hey, I made that appointment 6 months ago, and I couldn't wait for this day. I don't think anybody's going to, I don't think you're going to hear anybody saying that. In fact, a lot of us probably had those doctor appointments. So we either make them way out because we don't want to think about it, or we make them as soon as possible so that we can get things over. You know, getting that blood work checked, getting that other stuff checked, you know, as they say, after age 50, there's other things that need to be checked. Colonoscopy, you know, women, as they age, still need the pap and pelvic and mammogram things. The men still need their checkbooks to check up and things like that. I've got severe pain of any kind that continues. You know, just popping pain pills to try to mask it can mess with other parts of your body and parts of your system. So you don't really want to do that. You want to get it checked out, get a diagnosis, and then go from there. If you're someone who believes in spiritual healing, at least you know where to focus your prayer efforts, your body, things like that. If you're someone who then believes that, you know, medical intervention is prescriptions from doctors, you can then figure out what the next step is. You know, if the rest, you can deal with that where you're at with it. That's important as well. And I would encourage you to visit your doctor as needed. You know, ask your body what you need at that point and go with that. I know that may sound a little bit strange to some people, but, you know, just like when we have our pets and things and we're trying to figure out is it the right time to help them over the rainbow bridge or to say goodbye or our loved ones, you know, at what point is there hospice care needed? We'll move someone into our home because they're getting older, or move them to a nursing home for all that. You know, we sometimes make those decisions because they're not capable of doing it. At the same time, our individual bodies are a major work of art. The better we care for them, the longer the body destined to be on this earth. And I fully believe that. I admit to speaking this in you know, as I kind of was doing some research for this show,
I learned how much I do need to. So, start looking at.
We'd like to leave some type of short affirmation for what the week is, and to help folks know what they should be or wanting to do in the process of things. So for cleaning up our health, the affirmation, let's see, is, well, I could go very spiritual, but I am, literally. You know, that we are connected to some divine being, which I went over last week a little bit, and somehow that attributes to our health and wellness. Oh, if you need psychological counseling, that is another one. Of course, I should remember that and think of that as a up-and-coming counselor. You know, sometimes we need to talk things out with other people. Sometimes we can get away with doing it with our friends. Sometimes we can get away with it by writing things out. Sometimes we may need professional therapy, professional counseling. You know, it's not a bad thing to do that, to seek someone else out that we can talk things through. We'll shorten the stress on our body. It will make it easier to deal with things in the future, because sometimes we can learn some coping skills from those counselors. Whatever it is, and however it goes, you know, trust yourself, trust what your body is telling you, trust what your mind's telling you, if it's within reason, and go with that. So I am maintaining my health and seeking food, water, exercise, sleep, and anything else. I'm not going to put anything about medical. I'll always leave that medical in the first line of. So I am maintaining my health by seeking the food, water, exercise, sleep, and leaving health in. Regularly and as it. So. So yes, I am maintaining my health by seeking the food, water, exercise, sleep, and anything else in. Regularly and as it is. That is our affirmation for this week. Again, we do air typically noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. Went over a little longer than I normally want to. We pretty much air noon for just an hour if we can do that. If you have guest show, please send them the link to it. If you think they'd be good on. Being a guest, please, or topic, please send me an email, cindy@thestockradio.com. That would be much appreciated. And, you know, as we end this show, I wish you all the greatest of health and blessings. The song that you hear at the end is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. Jillian Clark, the vocalist, Jillian Rachel Grace, writers on that. The show is brought to you by True Visions Travel. You can find them at TRUEVISIONSTRAVEL.com. So, with all of that said, folks, you know, live yourself as positive. Hopefully, this series has helped you find some greater assets to use from
going forward as we clean out our mind, body, soul, spirit. And until next week, I wish you all soul blessings and thank you for listening.
Well, it does not seem like this song wants to.
That seems fundamental.
Whoa!
Be number one.
I don't know what that is. That's playing. It should not be playing for you right now.
That's
so we'll shut that down. And we'll try again to find our song. It apparently is not wanting to play today. My soundboard is all messed up. So let's see, what else can I tell you in the meantime? Ha ha ha. Next week, like I said, maybe we'll do something about, yeah, I've already forgotten what I said, to end up the series. We are looking for a couple of mothers to participate in the show around Mother's Day, although I have a retreat and I'm not absolutely sure. We might pre-record that show, just out of simplicity's sake, if we can get a couple of mothers, whether it's traditional or non-traditional mothers, to participate in the show and, you know, go from that. Because I will be taking my time and dealing with a little bit of my own personal health at that time in that, on the retreat. And I've tried to do that every year, have sometimes missed it and sometimes haven't. But it's been a great opportunity for me, and it's a great way for me to end my semester. Each year, well, usually we do that in September, so I actually start my semesters. With that, and this year we are doing it the Mother's Day weekend, so I'll actually have the opportunity to end my semester, take some time out in nature, walking and just enjoying the time away from the hubbub of my home and my normal life, like I did at the end of the year in December and January. But gives me the opportunity to relax. And my favorite part is that I get to be right on Lake Michigan and see the sunrise and the sunset. Both, well, we don't see the sun set over the lake. We see the sun rise over the lake, and I usually end up getting some beautiful pictures and walking along the beach. And it'll be great because I think it'll be before the big, bitey, ugly, annoying things come out into the world this year. So we might even be able to have a nice campfire and playing some music around it and just enjoying getting away at that. And it looks like I am not, for some reason, getting into my studio, either on my phone nor on the computer. And I don't know what has happened to Blog Talk, if something has happened with their website that isn't allowing me to get back into it. I think it appears I am still on the air, but for some reason, this is just being a little bit arbitrary here and not knowing why it's not doing that. So I just take a couple of deep breaths, which I need to keep my emotions in check, smile, laugh. Think of some cute little stories. I can give you a couple of little anecdotes, fun things while it's trying to reboot here, that a couple of people put onto Facebook today that I thought was kind of fun. Little tongue-in-cheek, of course, as it's very much the opposite of what I've been saying today, so... One of them is, research shows that laughing for 2 minutes is just as healthy as a 20-minute jog. Now, I'm not sure about this, so don't quote me on it. So now I'm sitting in the park laughing at all the joggers. You know, we don't really want to do that. I can't jog. I never was able to jog as a kid because I had asthma issues.
But walking is very nice. Another is, you're not fat. Come on, chin up. No, the other one. So, you know, we can kind of laugh at ourselves and joke about things, making things happier and all of that. But in the end, we really do need to just keep ourselves healthy, healthy and wise. You know, we can, the other things we can do is to do that with education. We can do that with just getting out, having conversations with people, not bogging ourselves down with things, trying to keep our emotions in check. All of that are additional ways of being healthy and focusing on things other than ourselves. And, you know, particular this website is just not wanting to do what I wanted to do today. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're just, I think, end this show. I am who I am, walking in the spirit by month, fulfilling my own destiny. So, you know, fulfill your destiny, be who you are, take time for yourself, whatever that might mean. Be comfortable in your own skin. You know, clean out whatever does not suit you anymore. Get it out of your lives, whether that be the negative thinking, whether that be the food, whether it be spiritual warfare, whatever it might be, take the time to clear it out, clean it out, that you fully are the person that you are meant to be, that you can find your purpose, that you can find your life, and that you can live a very positive one in the process of all of this. And I think that's what the ultimate goal is the positive messages we give ourselves, the being, what do I want to say? The being whatever we're supposed to be, plain and simple. And going with that. Oh, Blog Talk Radio, you have your moments. So until next time, I wish you all a soul blessing, and thank you for listening.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit. spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.